How do you do? Most young people would love to grow up without boundaries, with the freedom to come and go at will and do as they please. But as the young woman in this story learned, if we ignore boundaries, sooner or later, we ourselves may end up bound. It was a hard lesson to learn, but she found true freedom only when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bringing you the good news through dramatic true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Street people who come to Pacific Garden Mission often feel hopeless because their failures have led them to a place where they can't even help themselves. Moreover, each one feels isolated in his or her self-condemnation and guilt. They don't know that we've all been there. The mission offers every kind of assistance, from nourishing food to clean clothing, from medical and dental care if needed, to counseling and prayer. A safe place to sleep and a safe place to lay down their burdens. The past isn't shoved into a closet at Pacific Garden Mission. It's laid at the cross. And the one who said, "I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more," gives them new life. And that's what Unshackled is all about. Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2487 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Mom? Mom, I'm in trouble.
What is it, Robin?
I'm in jail.
Robin, are you telling the truth?
Yes, Mom. I need help.
Let me get your father.
Bill? Bill! Pick up the extension. Robin's in jail.
I can't believe this is happening.
Robin, what's going on?
Well, some guy I know wanted to get even with his old girlfriend, and he talked us into robbing the place where she worked.
Oh, no.
Oh, Robin, you have done it this time.
I never thought it would go this far. Everything went wrong.
When did this happen?
Oh, Sunday night.
Sunday night? This is Wednesday.
I know. I thought I'd get out of it, but... Oh, it looks bad, Daddy. I don't want to go to prison. Please help me.
What a shock. To go from having no boundaries to being locked up in a cell. The young woman in our story was not prepared for this sudden turn of events. How could she know that in a way, she had been set up? This is the first of a two-part story. We'll hear how Robin Correa was unshackled.
Mine was an upper-middle-class family, and I always knew I was loved. We lived in Michigan. Although we never went to church, except maybe at Easter, my family was known as upstanding and moral, until I fell. My rebellion started when I was about 8 and discovered that I could get away with anything. Dad was working second shift then, and Mom was easygoing. So my sisters and I ran the neighborhood until we felt like coming home. Dad was not so easygoing, and that's when the conflict began.
Robin, you get right back here right now. Did you hear what she just said to me?
Oh, don't take it seriously, Bill. She's just feeling rambunctious.
Huh, rambunctious? 10-year-old girls don't talk to their parents like that. Not where I come from. She thinks she can do as she pleases.
Oh, come on, Bill. She's very responsible. She gets good grades. She's on the safety patrol.
Yeah.
She's in scouts and all kinds of activities. What more do you want?
I want her to respect her parents. Don't you let her talk back to you either.
She doesn't.
That's because you let her run wild. I want a curfew for those girls, and I want you to quit going to bingo.
Why? Your mother lives right across the field.
I don't care. You're gone too much when I'm at work. You need to be here, and you rein in those girls.
Dad and I fought a lot. At first, it was just yelling. Then we got into physical fights. He never hit me with a closed hand, but once I pushed him into the stereo and almost made him fall. I felt terrible about that because I loved my dad. We never fought physically after that, but I still rebelled, seeking more independence. And by the time I was in junior high, I was practically my own boss.
Hello?
Mom, I rode the bus home with Jenny, and I'm going to spend the night here.
Okay. See you later.
See? I told you they wouldn't care.
Hey, maybe you could spend the summer with me.
Yeah, at least I wouldn't have to put up with Goody Two-Shoes.
Your brother?
Yeah, he's the perfect son. Always does what he's told.
Makes you look really bad, huh?
I should go live with my grandparents like my sisters did. Then I could really do what I want.
Well, you do anyway, Robin. Listen, you want to drink some beer?
Sure. You mean your parents will let us?
Well, we'll wait till they go to sleep.
Each summer, I would spend the entire time with my girlfriend and go back home when school started. At 15, I was going steady with a boy at school. When I started high school, I was an honor roll student. But after that year, I quit caring and began sassing the teachers, not doing my homework, and cutting class. Mom was my ally.
I need to get some things at the store. You want to go with me?
I can't. Aaron gets mad if I go out with anyone else.
Even with me? To the store?
He's afraid I'll meet some other boy.
Oh, that's silly. He's really jealous.
Tell me about it. I need you to write me a note for the teacher.
Again?
Yeah. Aaron wanted to go to the park today, so I missed some classes.
Robin, no wonder your grades are falling.
Who cares? Just write the note and tell him I was sick. My boyfriend got so possessive that I asked my parents to send me to a different school, which they did. For 6 months, I did very well. Then I transferred back, and he was worse than ever. We fought so much at school, and I skipped so often, that I finally quit altogether in my junior year. I moved in with my older sister, who let me do what I wanted. When she went to California for a week, I threw a big party.
Robin, they're raiding the cupboards in the kitchen.
Oh, well, let them. I'll get more tomorrow.
Oh, no! Food fight!
What a mess! Hey, you guys, cut it out!
Raymond, you jerk! You spilled your drink all over me!
All right, I'm coming. Don't break that door down.
It's the police, Robin. Somebody call the cops on us.
After the police left, we continued the party. Sometime later that night, a friend arrived with a young man I didn't know. Elias drank a lot, but he was nicer than anyone I had ever known.
I hear you had some party crashers.
The police, you might say that.
You should have invited them in the first place, instead of letting them hear about it through the grapevine. Makes them mad every time.
They heard about it all right, from the neighbors. They didn't like the noise.
You should have invited them, too. They were just jealous of all the fun.
Hey, I saw you at Lucy's party, Elias. I wondered who you were.
Sometimes I wonder who I am, too. So, what did the police do?
They charged me with disturbing the peace and drinking underage.
That's a rite of passage, isn't it? Busted! Now you can get on with your life now that that's over with.
Hey, you're funny, Elias. You have a good attitude. The next night at 11 p.m., Elias showed up at the door. I didn't know what to do, but I let him in, and we watched television for an hour. Then he left. The next night, same thing. I had my guard up, wondering why he was coming over like that. But I liked him, so I let him come over 5 nights in a row. He would draw pictures for me. Pictures with a hidden meaning.
What do you think about this picture?
Well, that part is a bridge.
Uh-huh.
And the other part looks like the Hoarder from Star Trek.
Robin, anyone could tell that's a rock, but it's not just any rock.
Oh?
There's a rock in my backyard. It's part of an old railroad bridge. And when I was little, my friend and I would chip away at that rock. I guess we thought if we could get to the middle of it, we'd find a pot of gold or something.
Did you ever get to the middle?
Did you ever try to chip a big rock?
What about the bridge?
The bridge is down the street from my house, and I used to go there as a child. It was my secret place where I could be alone and think. I'll take you there sometime.
I'd like that.
Robin, I've been wanting to ask, will you go out with me? You don't think I'm weird, do you? Coming over here every night like this.
I was beginning to think you were weird, Elias, but I'd like to go out with you anyway. So Elias and I began going steady in the spring of 89. He came over so often, my sister asked me to find another place to live, so I moved in with my friend Lucy. Before long, 8 teenagers were living in her one-bedroom apartment. What a mess. It was one long drinking party, and only a few of us had jobs, so we had to find ways to get enough money for beer.
You're not scared, are you, Robin?
No. It's kind of exciting.
Don't worry. We'll be careful.
There's something in that car there.
Yeah, but we have to wait till those people go inside that building, okay?
They're gone.
Good. It's unlocked.
What is it?
Looks like a camera. Come on, let's go. Now, don't run. We'll just hurry back to the car.
I only went with them a few times, but I liked the thrill of getting away with something like that. We were so deceived, thinking we were above getting caught. I even spent a night in juvenile hall that summer as punishment for the wild party I had in the spring. But I went on, blindly doing whatever I wanted. Elias and I were in love, and I moved back home to my parents' house so I could work and save for my own apartment. We should have chosen our friends more carefully.
What a drag. If we had some money, we could party.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. I'm broke, too.
I don't get paid till Friday.
Hey, I know where we can get some money, and I can get back at my old girlfriend at the same time.
How's that?
Well, she works at the gas station tonight. There's plenty of money there.
Okay. Oh, you think she'll just give you some?
No. We'll have to take it when she closes up. Okay, now wait. Listen, there's 4 of us. Lily, you can drive. Me and Elias will hide outside till she closes and grab her when she comes out. Robin, you can wait in back and watch for anyone who comes.
Sounds like a piece of cake.
Okay. All right, let's go.
We were callous to fear by then because we had never been caught. Even though we'd never committed a robbery like that, we didn't take it seriously. To us, it was just goofing off, something to do. My world without boundaries was going in a new direction, one I would deeply regret.
Robin had been set up by deception, the belief that they could get away with anything. But there were other factors at work closing the trap, and we'll hear about that in just a moment. Abuse or abandonment leaves more and more women and children homeless, in even more peril living on the streets. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the porch light burning and the door open day and night, offering refuge to those without means. 2 floors in the main building, as well as the entire Gospel League home, are a sanctuary to these women, a place where they can find new life. In a clean and homey environment, they learn to accept responsibility, develop social skills, and help one another feel loved and accepted. The mission provides all the amenities, from a playroom for children to a kitchen for nursing mothers, dormitories that are secure and appealing, laundry facilities and parenting classes, everything they need to grow stronger. Bible study and counseling help these women grow in wisdom and knowledge. The benefits of a transformed life extend into the community as well as into the future. To learn more about our ministry to women, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
It was nearly 11 p.m. on a cold February night when we arrived at the gas station. The men had a stick and waited for the attendant to lock up for the night. She was not the one they expected.
Ah!
I was behind the station and couldn't see that a car drove by. And the driver saw what was happening and went after the guys. All of a sudden, I saw Elias and Brad running, so I ran too. It was so dark, I ran into the man who was after the guys. I was taken to jail and questioned, but wouldn't say anything. They put me in a cold cell, where reality set in, and I cried all night. We were actually going to rob a store, and I had been caught. It was not a joke anymore. And as the days dragged by, I began promising God that if he'd get me out of this, I'd never do it again. Finally, I called my parents.
Were you the only one caught?
No. They caught everyone, but I didn't know that until the next day, when I went before the magistrate to set bond, and the others were all there, too.
How much bond?
$50,000 cash.
So much. I thought you said they didn't actually rob the place.
They didn't. Some guy interrupted them, and they ran away.
Then why such a high bond?
I guess it's serious, Dad, whether you succeed or not.
I don't understand why you waited so long to call us, Robin.
I thought they would let me go. I wouldn't have to tell you. I'm really ashamed.
Well, we'll come down right away and see you.
You can only visit me once a week, Dad. My visiting day is tomorrow at 7 o'clock at night.
We'll be there.
Please bring me some money so I can buy things I need, like toothpaste and shampoo.
Okay.
It's horrible being in jail. I feel so trapped. I felt so alone and scared. For the first time, I realized that my mother and father couldn't get me out of the mess I was in. They came to visit me, though. We entered what looked like a double phone booth separated by a glass window. We had to talk through a phone.
Oh, Robin, you look like a helpless little girl.
Are you okay?
Yes, I look a mess, I know. I've been crying a lot.
We left you some money so you can buy the things you need.
Thanks, Dad. At least I can get a toothbrush and toothpaste. There's not much I can do about this baggy orange jumpsuit. I'm so sorry.
Are you safe in there, Robin? You hear things about jail and prison and...
There are guards, Mom, but it's still scary. I miss my room at home. I have to sleep in a concrete bunk, and there are 8 other women in the cell.
Surely you'll get out of this. You didn't take anything or hurt anyone.
Oh, I was there, Mom. I was part of it.
I wish there was something I could do to help you.
It's my own fault, Dad. I was really stupid to think we could get away with it. I'll never forgive myself for what I did.
Most of the women in my cell were older, except for a teenager who told me about a church service on Wednesday. She said it was better than sitting in a cell, so I went. 2 ladies from a local church were there, and they talked about a coming tribulation.
I want you to remember that no matter what you've done, God will forgive you. People may not, and the law may not forgive you until you've paid your debt, but God will. Let me read Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you're not alone, ladies. God says all have sinned. That's the bad news. Now here's the good news. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you believe that? Can you believe that someone would pay for your crime so that you can walk free? There is a punishment for our sin. Let me read Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you understand that? Your wages, or what you earn and receive for your sin, is spiritual death, separation from God forever, in a place the Bible calls hell.
That's scary. I always thought I was a Christian because I believed in God. Boy, was I wrong.
But God has a gift for you. He will give you heaven if you realize you cannot earn forgiveness on your own. If you trust what Jesus did on the cross for you as punishment for your sins. Going to heaven is a gift, ladies. No one can earn it, and obviously we don't deserve it.
I am a wicked sinner. I need forgiveness even though I don't deserve it. Surely Jesus will forgive me.
How do you receive God's forgiveness? God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is trust in the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, as payment in full for all the sin you've ever committed. You will go to heaven if you call on him. Now, I want you to bow your heads and think about what you've heard. If you want to be saved, follow me in this prayer. Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. Please forgive me for all that I've done and all I will ever do. I am asking you to come into my heart and be my Savior and take me to heaven someday. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the grave. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Raise your hand if you prayed with me. I'd like to give you a Bible.
I did it. I prayed with her and raised my hand. When I got back to the cell, I read the Bible she gave me for hours. I'd start right after breakfast, stop for lunch, and read all afternoon. I couldn't get enough. Week by week, I was changing, and the other prisoners didn't like me very much. And week after week, my parents came to visit.
Do you have a trial date yet?
Yes, it's August.
3 months yet? Oh, Robin, you poor thing.
I thought I would die when he said August.
What does your attorney say?
Since it's my first offense, he thinks I might get a year in jail and then probation.
How are you getting along in there?
Okay, Dad. It's just that the women in my cell are all older and they don't like me.
Well, why's that?
They've been making jailhouse wine, mixing up all kinds of fruit, sugar, and other things, and I wouldn't join them, so they don't trust me.
I'm surprised they can get away with something like that.
Me too. It smells up the whole cell while it's fermenting.
The guards don't notice?
They flirt with the guards, and I don't do that either.
It sounds like you're more mature than they are.
Being in jail makes you think about your life, Dad. I did a lot of stupid things over the years, and I want to change. The Lord is helping me.
We got your letter, Robin. I'm glad you had a religious experience.
I met the Lord, Mom, and I'll never be the same.
Elias and I had been writing each other faithfully, and he wrote that he had been saved the same day I was. Sometimes the guards would sneak letters back and forth, but we were not allowed a visit until the day before sentencing, when the sheriff let us be together briefly.
Oh, Robin, it's so good to see you again.
Yes, praise God. I've been praying so much for this.
Me too, honey. I love you.
I love you too, Elias. Your letters have kept me going. Your letters and God's word.
Be strong tomorrow. I've been praying that we'll get probation.
Me too. We've already served 6 months. Surely that's enough.
Will you wait for me if I go to prison? Don't let it tear us apart.
No, I'll wait for you.
Whatever happens, will you still marry me?
Oh, you know I will. I love you so much, Elias.
I made you this ring. It's 21 karat gold thread.
This is just like you, Elias. It's beautiful.
Keep it until we get out, and I'll buy you a real engagement ring.
It hurts so much to be separated from you. You always make me laugh. You always see the best in every situation.
Don't worry, honey. We'll get through this somehow, together.
The next day, I listened in shock as one after another we were all sentenced to prison terms of 3 to 20 years, except for Brad, who received 5 to 20 years. The judge said he wanted to make an example of us, so other juveniles would learn from our mistake. The following day, we all traveled in a van to the prisons upstate.
Long ride, isn't it?
At least I get to be with you for a while.
My sentiments exactly.
I had no idea we'd have to travel in chains like this.
Just like the movies, Robin.
I still can't believe this is happening.
Me neither. I went back to my cell yesterday and I tried to prepare myself. But how do you prepare for something like this?
At least we have the Lord, Elias.
I feel really bad about hurting my dad like this. He did the best he could, raising me.
I know. The look on Mom and Dad's face when I was sentenced.
Do they blame me for leading you astray?
No, honey. I was a rebel long before I met you. I was so deceived. They can see that I've changed, though.
My folks don't think it'll last. Mom calls it jailhouse religion. They think I'll get out of prison and go right back to my old ways.
They just don't know the Lord.
Maybe we can change that.
I've been praying for my family so much to get saved, but it's hard to talk about it with them, isn't it?
Yeah. But maybe if they see the difference in us...
Elias, look! There it is. The women's correctional facility. It looks so bleak.
Don't lose heart, Robin. Remember, it's just for a while.
Write to me, Elias.
As much as I can.
And draw me pictures if you want. I'll try to understand them.
Remember that rock I drew for you? The one in my backyard?
Yes.
That rock is Jesus. Just hang on to him.
What would separation and prison do to this couple's fragile new beginning? Next week, we'll hear the conclusion as Elias tells us how he stumbled into darkness and was rescued. Friend, we hope Robin's testimony has helped you understand the love and power of God. There is no situation so hopeless, no life so wasted, that he cannot save. Wherever you are now, if you call out to him as Robin did, he will hear. He is waiting to answer your cry. God promises in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." If you need help in making this once-in-a-lifetime decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Do your friends a favor by telling them when and how to hear these true stories. And please remember to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 2487. Heard in the true story of Robin Correa were Lisa Keefe, Kim Rasmussen, Ray Van Steen, Joanne Silvestrak, and Mickey Hurd. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. If you knew how important your letter is to us, you'd write today. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Feeling desperate? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.